In the Genjo Koan, Dogen Zenji says, to study oneself is to be awakened by the myriad dharmas. To be awakened by the myriad dharmas is to be freed from body, mind, one's body, mind, and those of others. No trace of awakening remains, and this traceless awakening is continued forever. To forget oneself is to be awakened as the myriad dharmas, not as the myriad dharmas, by the myriad dharmas, as in a way makes it clear, to be awakened as the myriad dharmas, meaning dharmas is phenomena, inside outside phenomena. Being awakened by the myriad dharmas is freed from one's body mind, freed from one's attachment to body mind, and body mind of others. In a way, our practice is very clear. It's clear because the difficulties we have is only with our lack of clarity. As you probably know, the 12 steps, cause and effect, chain of praticca samutpada, the chains of cause and effect that maintain suffering, stress, dissatisfaction. Starts with, if I say such a thing, of course it's a cycle, but it starts with avidya, which is, can be just translated as ignorance, but more accurate is to say lack of clarity, or in the word that's used in Chinese to translate the Sanskrit avidya is mumyo or wu ning. My Chinese is bad, but it's the characters of no brightness or no clearness. When we aren't clear on what's occurring, what results from that, the next is samskara, or volitional formations, conditional formations, or, as we say in the Heart Sutra, discriminations. It's this, someone else translates it as fermentations. By fermentations, no, not fermentation. Someone does that, but fabrications, discriminations, fabrications, volitional formations. They're all pointing to what we do in the midst of this arising moment. What we do in the midst of the myriad dharmas. See, this is what Dogen is saying. Forgetting self is being awakened, being enlightened by myriad dharmas, being awakened as myriad dharmas, meaning the phenomena we encounter inside, outside. And if we say it the other way, what keeps us from being awakened by this moment, myriad dharmas, is this lack of clarity of what's going on and the resulting fabrications or discriminations or formations. In other words, events occur inside, outside. That's just cause and effect. The nature of the universe is ongoing change, cause and effect. And then what one of the aspects of being human is this habit, tendency to fabricate, to create ideas about, feelings about what is occurring. When a sutra says, why do we call them samskaras, or why do we call them fabrications, or why do we call them discriminations? Volitional, volitional meaning that it's the coming together of the habit, the reactive habit, if I use that word, the discriminating habit, and our holding on to it and believing it. Why do we call them samskara? Because they fabricated things. What does that mean? For the sake of formness, they fabricate, they discriminate form as a fabricated, a condition, a discriminated thing. For the sake of feelingness, they fabricate feelings. For the sake of perceptions, for the sake of consciousness, they fabricate consciousness as a fabricated, as a volitional thing. Meaning, in the midst of events occurring inside, outside, in the midst of the myriad dharmas, the myriad phenomena, we make something of that phenomena. We meaning, in the midst of the habit, we add intention to the habit without even knowing it, because we're not clear about what's so, because we believe thoughts when they come up. We believe feelings when they come up. When I said yesterday at the beginning of Sesshin, talked about the importance of non-talking, non-looking around, this is exactly what I was pointing at. This, if we say body-mind chatter, body-mind looking around at what's occurring inside and outside. Not in the sense of simply seeing, open our eyes, there's light. But we make something of the light. We create, we form something volitionally. Now there's the habit, which is also cause and effect. We could use a fancy word and say karma, but we don't need such fancy words. We could simply say It's the cause and effect circumstances of our life that come together as this moment, and it, as our habits of how we see, feel, taste things. But we then grab onto it. We then discriminate about, I like it, I don't like it, it's what I want, it's what I don't want, this is what it means. All that talking about, all that body-mind chatter, all that, if I use the word fabricate, all that discriminate. Not that it's bad, except that it has consequences. What are the consequences of fabricating? We attach. We cling. Attaching could also mean rejecting. Greed and anger has to do with, greed is attaching, grabbing it towards us, and anger is trying to push away from us. Both of those result in what? Not that they're good or bad, it's just that they're habits that result in suffering, in stress, in dissatisfaction. See, that's why what we're doing here in Sesshin is, if I use the word cultivating, non-attaching. Not cultivating, pushing away, but non-talking about what appears inside or outside. Or, if we say it the other way, noticing when that does occur, because that's the habit of mind, that's the samskara aspect of the five skandhas. The five skandhas, everyone knows. Those are a way of describing being human. Or if I say it another way, a way of describing human functioning. Form, sensation, perception, discrimination, or awareness are the translations of those words that we use in chanting the Heart Sutra. We could say those with different English words, but they're a useful way to be aware of and work with this body-mind functioning that is who we are. This body-mind functioning that includes habits arising and our, in a sense, latching on to them. See, that's the fabrication or discrimination aspect, that we, the feeling, thought, perception occur, and then we latch on. They occur. This occurs. The myriad dharmas occur as a result of cause and effect. And they're exactly the opportunity of being awakened. They're exactly the opportunity, as Dogen says, for this traceless enlightenment, traceless awakening, to continue forever. Except if, when we make something of the discrimination, of the volitional formation, of make something is to fabricate something. And there's the subtle aspect where the volitional, the samskara, the reactive habit occurs of itself. It seems to us natural, and yet there's a place where we grab onto it, and it's so swift that unless we make the practice effort of cultivating, of noticing when that happens, and making the effort of allowing it to arise and pass without holding on to it, without talking, looking, making something of it, and which is exactly why I say non-talking, non-looking around. Unless we do that, it just snowballs. Which is why our practice is the practice of cultivating, not attaching to it, with regard to form, sensation, conceptions, form, sensation, conceptions, discriminations, and awareness, or whatever other way you want to translate those. Those translations into English are just to enable us to see it for what it is, and therefore, in seeing it, being released from it. Being released from the habitual anger or habitual reaction or the habitual thought, the habitual feeling of what that means. What it means if I'm cold or hot, and I shouldn't have to be cold or hot right now. What it means if I feel achy right now. What it means if I have a thought about her and what she said about me right now. Or him and what he's going to do or not do or should do. Or even a sense of big, small, dark, light, awareness, consciousness. See, all of those we can fabricate something about. We can volitionally discriminate and have some idea. Or we can allow that to rise and pass, which it does in the midst of being present, in the midst of being experiencing, in the midst of being spacious and not holding to what arises and passes. See? That's studying the self to forget the self. Forgetting the self to being awakened as this moment, 10,000 dharmas arising. See? That itself frees us from attachment to body, mind, and those of others. See? Attachment to body, mind of oneself or other is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about lack of clarity. What we're talking about when we talk about fabrications. See? If we don't discriminate about, then however body mind arises in here or out there is simply cause and effect this moment. If there's something to do, we do it. You could call that skillful and appropriate. If there's nothing to do, then it arises and passes. And since much of the time when we're sitting in Sesshin, there's nothing to do, we, if I say it this way, can more and more cultivate and develop this capacity to be this traceless awakening that we are. See? That nothing remains of and continues forever. So, See, the words of the sutra, the words of Dogen, the words of other ancestors are to enable us to do this life that we are. Not somewhere else, but right in the midst of these moment, body, mind, world that is right now. And enabling us to do it by clarifying, by bringing brightness and clarity to where it's lacking. And the only place it's lacking is through our own fabrication, discrimination, attachment. So what's valuable is to clarify that. So I'm starting to speak now, and then we can talk a little more about how this can enable us to be who we are. So I'll stop now and see what you want to bring up. Yes.
You say that we attach to it.
Yes.
What is that?
What is that attaching?
That we attach to it. We attach. It's personal. We attach to it.
Well, I don't say it's personal, but it's attachment. It's, if we say the five skandhas are a way to describe this human functioning right here. Mm-hmm. One aspect of that is that habitual reactiveness. That occurs. It's a result of cause and effect. It's a result of, if you want to explain it, nature and nurture. It's a result of all sorts of different ways of explaining it. But the moment when it occurs is, in a sense, the cause and effect phenomena, if I explain it this way, and the cause and effect reactiveness to the phenomena, if I explain it that way. And that's our only choice moment. See, that's the self-centeredness, we could say. And it occurs almost automatically. Almost. I don't want to feel cold. Ooh. Almost automatically, we form body, sensation, perception. See? Sensation, cold, perceiving the cold, and then discrimination or volitional formation or discriminating. I don't want to feel it. That occurs almost automatically, and yet at that moment, there's the intentional possibility of not adding to that, not attaching to that, not clinging to that, but having the capacity to, for that to occur and yet not to act it out, not to talk to it. And it's not something that you have to figure out, except in the process of being present, we discover this nature of what goes on in being human. Not being some abstract human, but the human that you are, the human that I am. And the capacity not to have to cling to that reaction, not to have to act out that reaction. See? That's what Dogen is talking about when he says studying the self. Studying the self means being present. Studying the self means being body-mind without holding to thought. That's why he says non-thinking. That's why we could say experiencing, being this moment. It's a capacity as being human that we have, this capacity of this moment, this capacity of this moment. And we have that capacity, we discover it, we see it more clearly in practice, whether it's in practice in sitting, whether it's in practice in being present, in walking, in eating, in talking, in working, in each moment. Whether you use a word like awareness, whether you use a word like mindfulness, you could use all sorts of words to point at this practice of the functioning of Buddha nature, that is who we are, the functioning of the awakened way that is our life, and yet that we cover our eyes from with, if we hold on to those habits. Well, I don't know if I've answered your...
Well, not attaching, is that the same as forgetting the self?
In general terms, yes. In the forgetting the self, just forgets. You can't say, I'm going to not forget the self. There is no self you need to forget, except that this habit arises,
yeah, right,
and it seems natural to us to think about our thoughts, to chatter about our how I feel and what I want and what I perceive, and so on and so forth. So, though, because that seems natural, we do it. So at practice, in a way, is not whole believing, attaching, that fabricating that occurs of itself. But we don't then discriminate about the discriminations, if I say it that way, or about the volitional. See, there's that volitional, intentional formations. There's the intentional aspect that we have that comes with this cause and effect reactions that occur. It doesn't matter, I say this often, doesn't matter at what point you notice that discriminating habit, because it's at the point that you notice that it's happening that there's the intentional aspect that crosses, so to speak, that habit. And that's the moment where practice effort is possible. Until that moment, it's not possible, because we operate almost automatically. We operate without clarity, without even seeing what we're doing.
So functionally, let's say it this way, we can't forget the self. That's just circular.
We can't forget the self. In other words, am going to forget myself,
right,
is nonsense.
Can't have, yes. But functionally, well, in practice, we let go, which is functionally forgetting the self. We just let go of that cling when we notice it.
I won't even say that that's functioning. We let go. I would say it differently. I would say experiencing means naturally even experiencing holding on. Because it's just cause and effect this moment. So there's something to let go. There's being, being, being. Then of itself, body mind drops away, if I use such a phrase. But it's being this moment being experiencing, if I say it that way, even saying that, we have to be careful, because our language is always wants to lead us to the dualistic sense. But it's fine to say it. There's nowhere else but right this five skandhas, this body-mind. And yet, don't hold on to this body-mind. Otherwise, we get some idea. Yes?
Well, last night, you said, Ram, Yukim, Yang, Ram looking around and
Non-talking.
Non-talking. So these the so-called internal processes, and then you said, and to come back with the breath to the moment, and I got it, you know.
Good.
But this is a little more theoretical for me. But the non-looking around.
Good. Then just be breathing. Be breathed.
But that's an antidote to.
Don't even think of it as an antidote. There's nothing to antidote. There's nothing that needs antidoting until there's some illness. Then you need an antidote. When there's no illness, there's no need for an antidote. No trace of illness, no trace of awakening remains.
We can use kind of the breath though as an antidote.
Sure.
Okay. Because sometimes you're just so wound up that you just have to make an effort to start counting.
That's right. And there's many practice supports. See, the practice supports are what we use when cause and effect, whether inside or outside, are evident in our agitation, reactions, being caught up, anger, fear, all of those. When those appear, and we not only they appear, but we cling to them, then what's skillful and appropriate so that we don't continue to cling to them? See, it's the clinging to them and reacting out of them that creates difficulties. It's not what people do. Unless someone's trying to hit you right here and then you have to duck or block it or ow or whatever. But most of the time, it's what's occurring inside, outside, and how we react to it. And based on how we react to it, right there is to see, oh, I'm caught up in how upset I am that he said that. And he's long gone. The words have no one else could hear him except we keep repeating them to ourselves. See, that's where we talk to ourselves almost. Yeah. Someone said something about us and we're just mind-chattering about it for hours or days. And if you don't, great. But if you do, that's simply the reactive habit, the samskara, that comes out of the perception. It comes out of the feeling of hearing and the recognition, the perception of what you heard, or your, if you use different words, how you perceive what those, that hearing means, what you think about it, what you like, dislike about it, what you voluntarily form about it, and then the whole sense of awareness of it and being conscious and thinking about it. If it doesn't happen, great, but for some of us it happens, and when it happens, that's when you really know it's poking you. Right here is your practice. Right here is your practice, if you notice it. And the practice is the experience, body mind experiencing right here. And it's wonderful that we have this opportunity of sitting together, because that gives us the opportunity of sharing, being this spaciousness that we are, in which even those, that mind chatter can arise and pass, can arise and pass, as it naturally does. And we know it for what it is. See? We know it for what it is. It's not something else. It's simply the functioning of this life that we are, this, if I say, Buddha nature, this way. See?
If you don't want to, fine, but would you list the 12? Just list them?
Sure. Do you know the five?
I think so.
Okay. The 12 are, I'll just use a translation of it. They can be translated in different ways. The first is lack of clarity or ignorance. The second is samskara or volitional formations, discriminations. The third is cognition. The fourth is body, mind, or body, it's sometimes nama, rupa, or citta. The fifth is the six faculties, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. That's the fifth. The sixth is tactation. In other words, cognitive senses. The seventh is feeling. The eighth is desires or thirst, trisna. The ninth is attachment. The tenth is becoming. The 11th is birth. The 12th is old age and death. And then it starts again. It's sort of like a continuous circle. So those are just the listing. It's a way of talking about what leads to what. And it doesn't matter at which point you pick up and deal with it. See, the point is right here. This moment of your life is the point to take care of it. It's not anywhere else. Since I say that, let me end with, unless there's another comment, question, there's a nice dialogue between Chao Cho and Nanchuan, or Joshu and Nansen. Joshu says, there's no things that are outside of the way. Outside of things, there is no way. What is the way outside of things? Nansen hits him with the staff. Joshu grabs the staff and says, hereafter, don't be hitting people in error. Nansen said, it's easy to tell dragons from snakes. It's difficult to fool a patched-robed monk. So I leave you with that. Thank you.
Copyright 2013, LU Genmyo Smith.